existence of our people and a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why. I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. The whole day down.
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
Huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role.
Where are you, truth?
Jews are going to be resented.
Theater, the cinema, the whole art is now slowly becoming crazy. Millions of our people no longer take part. They don't tell them anything anymore. This art that was not born of our people, it has only been indoctrinated into our people by a busy press. It's been made bite-sized. And at the same time, the attack against education and our youth begins.
We'll be right back.
3 years, 900 Jews held their own against 15,000 Roman soldiers. They chose death before enslavement. The Romans, where were they?
You're looking at them, asshole.
Watch my knife and let me go back.
It's in the blood. You're born to this shit. You are what you are.
According to the Constitution that was written.
What is it that troubles you the most? What's motivating you with regard?
The people that are breaking all the laws. The people in office. The people in office that are ruining it. They are following the rules that our forefathers put down for us.
Yeah.
No. I'd like to know, Jim keeps speaking of the international bankers, and I'd like to know exactly who and what they are.
Well, who do you think they are?
I know who they are. They're a bunch of rich Jews. And they're a bunch of rich Jew bankers. Thank you.
Israel Cohen, a leading communist in England, in his A Racial Program for the 20th Century, wrote, "We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will instill into the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise to prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America into our hands." There you have the Jewish communist program in a nutshell. They live a life of maximum violence and a total lack of any ethics at all. The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague. Negro women can actually make a living producing what can be technically and properly termed little black bastards. They are little, they are black, and they are in the strictest sense of the word, bastards. There are already millions of these illegitimate blacks whom nobody really wants once they have been presented to get a bigger welfare check and who are allowed to run absolutely wild in the streets. These wild black teenagers are the very guts of the riots in our big cities. And there are millions more on the way. They are very real savages. The lowest forms of humanity, the colored races, are now breeding so fantastically fast that we will soon be neck deep in nigger.
The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague.
It is happening right now in Mississippi, Alabama, and other parts of the South. And in our big cities, where the blacks, nearing a majority, are aiming to be masters of the whites through mass and block votes and guerrilla warfare, while the foolish whites will continue to play Democrat and Republican, etc. Nationalists realize at last that there are not many issues, just one: race. If our people had the will to resist, they could do it. But they keep hoping there will be some easy way and do nothing at all except to damn the few of us who oppose this insanity as agitators, outside agitators. Race war. It's them against us. The worst is yet to come.
The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague.
The world is about to suffer the worst plague in world history.
The Black Plague. The Black Plague. The Black Plague.
Racial Armageddon approaches.
The Black Plague. The Black Plague.
The worst is yet to come.
The Black Plague.
Racial Armageddon approaches.
The Black Plague.
What has to happen to you? How long is it going to take all of you to understand that if we all stood up together and said no, get back in your cage, you can't fool us any longer, we know who you are, we know what you're trying to do, we know that you are in subversion, executing treason, and it's over. If we all did that in concert, it would really be over. Because they're cowards.
Message, fuck the Jew!
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, long overdue to wake the fuck up. Same with you, white Canada, white Europe. White everywhere. Wake the fuck up. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. This is the Sane Asylum Base Monday, number 311. It's March 24th, 2025. Hard to believe we're almost through a quarter of the year already. Time really flies when you're not really having fun. All right. Looks like one of my three co-hosts for Monday is here, so let's bring him on. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, who's now battling Morgellons, Statutory Paul from California. How are you feeling, Paul?
Not too bad. So once again, after I missed last week, so I do have a glitch in my record, but once again, Tweedledum and Tweedledee are missing an accent so far.
Yep. Scorpio has got a lot going on right now, so I just send him the invites, and if he can do it, he does it. And Davis usually comes in a little late most days.
He does, yeah.
But in the short term, we got your pal, Puglord.
Oh, yeah.
That was unbelievable Friday night. That guy's something else. So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you heard most of it, all of it.
I was there for almost all of it. I left about 10 after 11 because I was getting late. I had to go.
Okay, so you stuck around to the end and you heard my closing comments as he was trying to, I don't get it. One of those things. I was going to address it in terms of the overall topic that I was trying to introduce or cover. And as a matter of fact, we could play an awesome video. You know, it could be like one of those days in class where, you know, instead of the normal lecture and BS, we have like a film. Remember the old days they actually brought in a projector?
Of course, man. Yeah, it was always a good day to pretend to be watching and kind of doze off, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Instead of the little, you know, the typical banter back and forth. So Paul, what do you think of what Trump just recently said? Fuck, who cares? According to Alex Jones, it's time for 1776. We'll commence again if we try to, you know, join the British Commonwealth or some bullshit now.
Just getting crazier and crazier, man.
It's absolutely
insane. We're joined by our other one of our other regular cohorts, the legendary Davis Lerman, the man who does more content, I think, than any other host on FTJ. Davis, welcome. How are you?
What's up, buddies? A little bit of a flu over here, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, it's that time of year, man, with the temperatures going up and down and all that. So I thought we'd start. I've got this image I want to bring up from the Gateway Pundit, which really – I haven't shared yet. Okay, I gotta share screen.
Oh, what is this, Right Perspective Radio?
Yeah. Here we go. This is a – I mean, I guess we always knew this, right? But so Chief John Roberts, who if there's a guy who looks like a compromised pedo any more than him, I can't believe there is. But you look at this. Chief Justice John Roberts caught in a secretive invite-only club for elite judges and lawyers that includes the vile psychopath James Boasberg, Beryl Howell, Amit Mehta, and Kejani Brown Jackson. Now, this is the dipshit who is installed in the Supreme Court, the Sheboon, who can't say what a woman is, right? And these other three are just insanely arrogant, hubristic communist traitors, right? They want to legislate against the will of the people, and this guy is batshit crazy. I really wish Trump would just send in like elite military and arrest this guy and take him to Guantanamo and torture him for he wants to protect the all three of you guys have seen these violent Venezuelan gangs that are taking over whole condo apartment complexes in Denver and Chicago and Houston, and this guy is trying to tell Trump to bring him back, and I'm glad Trump is standing up to him. But this is what you get from the kike and these Bolshevik 2.0. None of these shitheads, and this guy's a clown, the Supreme Court, he's compromised. But these are activist, traitor, Bolshevik 2.0 communist judges. They have no business, especially this street shitter, Amit Mehta, being a judge in this country, just like the other one that's not on there, that chink who's trying to block Trump. And it's just infuriating to me. So let's start with, let's see if Paul's audio is better. He dropped out and then he came back in. So, Paul, your thoughts. This is just, you know, the level of traitorous cancer in this country is just off the chain right now.
Well, I don't think I got to say it. It's time to take over. You know, fire and squad.
Yep. Yeah.
People would love it. You know, let's face it, we're deliberately denying what it is we need to get what we want.
Right.
I mean, it's what we got to take it ourselves. Like David.
So, Paul, your audio is really bad. It sounds like you're on an old Outer Limits episode.
I'm driving. Let me get situated.
It's way beyond.
Sounds good, Paul. We'll take you off right now. So, Davis, your thought. I mean, this is so infuriating to me. And like Paul said, you know, it really is time. I mean, Trump's not the man to lead this, but there really does need to be a strong authoritarian leader to make this country right. It's the only way, backed by the military, of course.
Well, help me understand, what are the implications of this revelation? So these judges are in a secretive invite-only club, but what's happening in the club? I don't really understand. What are the implications?
Well, clearly what's going on is they formulate traitorous strategy to subvert the will of the people, right? Trump won in a landslide, right? The vote, the mandate was get rid of all this tranny, commie, Talmudic bullshit, close the border, get rid of the 30 million illegals who are here ASAP, which he started to do, and he even said, I'm going to get rid of the most violent ones, right? So clearly you can infer that these traitors, assholes, are all conspiring and getting their marching orders from this secretive club, right?
Interesting. I guess, yeah. I mean, they could be wife swapping. They could be eating babies. We don't know these
people. Clearly, in addition to those Talmudic Jewish activities, they're also, you know, but who's this guy is no leader. Roberts is just a pussy. You know, he just radiates, I'm a pussy. And so who's there giving the orders is the real question, right? The fact that there is even this, revelation, it's not surprising, but it really points to why all these assholes in these various, you know, mid-level federal courts are trying to legislate radical policy when the will of the people has said, we don't want this. And what's even funnier, Davis, and Paul could certainly comment when he gets back, is back in the day, there were a lot of and are a lot of sane white people in California who voted against all the commie-fornia bullshit. And then some radical Jew judge on the California Supreme Court, you know, overrules it. No right to overrule it other than they're kikes and they're trying to legislate their tikkun olam, right? And so,
yeah, unfortunately, this does come back to Trump. So I realize there are people who are still under the Trump delusion. However, he revealed to us that selectively he can choose to ignore the judicial injunctions. He did so with the Venezuelan prisoners, did he not?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Which means he could have been ignoring all the injunctions all along ever since 2016, because that's what Article 2 of the Presidential Powers outlines. Abraham Lincoln had judicial injunctions as well. Know what he told them? Fuck off. And he did what he wanted. Now, I don't like Abraham Lincoln, but Trump supposedly does. And let's not pretend he doesn't have constitutional scholars explaining this to him. Trump knows. If you can ignore them once, Donald, you could have been ignoring them the whole time. So stop your bullshit. It's all theater. It's, again, sometimes it's government by fad in America. Sometimes it's government by half Negro in America.
Right.
This time around, it's government by media spectacle.
That's a great point. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I can't speak to Trump because he seems to have a low ability to stay on a topic. He likes the new bright shiny thing and to make a splash, and because that's what he's always done. He really understands the publicity cycle in the mass media and all that. But I'll tell you, I have to agree. You know, he has this mandate. He has both houses of the of the Congress, and if he didn't put in a traitor like that goofy bitch Coney, whatever her name is, the hyphenated Amy woman.
Coney Barrett.
Yes. And I mean, she should be back in all his plan. Instead, she turns out to be a traitor with it all. So.
Well, she doesn't want to disappoint her black children.
Yeah, there you go. Doesn't want to disappoint her black children. And she shouldn't have any black children, so. Well, all right, Paul's back. What are we, Paul? Are you, how, let's do an audio check. See if it's any better.
I should be good as gold right now.
Much yeah, man, better. You sound great. You sound
beautiful.
Great.
Beautiful McDonald's Wi-Fi, baby.
There you right go. On, bro. So, you want to comment on this, Davis? I don't. You probably didn't hear, but Davis was saying, and it's a really valid point that Trump's heroes are like King Abe the First and Andrew Jackson, who said "fuck you" to everyone, and they you know took their popular mandate to heart and did what was right for the voting masses, and so Davis asserts that Trump could be ignoring every one of these traitorous commie activist judges, yeah. But he only ignores one and then goes along with the other ones, and so what do you make of that, Paul? Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's not a great contribution for me to say this, but it was just speculation on our part since we're not in the room, right? Right. I remember I've mentioned before many times I was in a fraternity in college, and we had the better part of 50 members. And, of course, you know, each year, I mean, seniors would, you know, leave or whatever, and, you know, occasionally they would come hanging around again, but then we'd have like a new, you know, new class coming in. So, you know, in groups that size or even larger, you know, you're going to have cliques. And I mean, there right. was obviously there's even on a modestly sized sports team, there's generally going to be cliques where, you know, 2-3 guys sure. or whatever hang out. So, you know, whatever he does and whoever he listens to, you know, it's speculation unless he just tells us. And, you know, that's why, I mean, let's face it, you know, we keep talking about it all the time going back years now. Once we understood or we understand what Germany, what they were trying to do. And, right. you know, the leader or leadership principle is valid. You know, it goes against what we've been trained since elementary school to believe in, right? About the republic or representative government. But all that yeah. is really just, it's a nice concept. But when you have evil, you know, devious, diabolical Jews scheming for centuries, and I mean, this is the thing about these people. It's just, it's really incredible the fact that, you know, one lifetime to another, one generation to another, it's the same kind of scheming that they yep. do. And when they exist in the world, you have to have a structure that's designed to protect yourself from that. And a so-called, you know, representative or what they want to do to us, a multiracial democracy, it's just death, you know, to anybody who's not going to be favored by this group. And we are not favored, as we all know.
That's a great point, really great point. And I don't know, it's getting squirrelier. So it looks like Trump's starting to – not Trump, Musk is starting to color outside the lines too much. So how long do you think he's going to be around, Davis and then Paul?
Oh, I don't know. I think Elon seems to be – face first in the government trough, and now he's finally done it. I think his goal was to become too big to jail. So I don't think there's any stopping him, I'll be honest with you.
Your thoughts, Paul? It seems like the romance is over in my mind.
Well, you know, it's only been, what, 8 weeks? 10 weeks? I mean, obviously he was involved in the campaign and so forth, but what I find interesting is, you know, the whole outrage against Tesla by the sorts of people who would normally be opposed to, you know, business as usual. In other words, the people that are apparently outraged at him and his dealerships now and, you know, attacking charging stations and so forth, it seems to me they would be the sort of environmentalists who would always be you know, crying about the internal combustion engine, right, and global warming. And I find it interesting now that crowd is now opposed to Elon Musk because he's doing what exactly? You know, and I mean, from what I can see, it's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. I mean, if it's all, I mean, if these judges are not going to get in the way, you know, we need to call the government grifters. I mean, because let's face it, you know, most of these people working for the government, they get a paycheck and that's about it. They don't really contribute much to society.
Right. Great point. Well, let's take a break and say hello to everybody in the chat. Hey, Davis is in the chat. There's Clinton CJ. Great to see you. My buddy Dave straight out of Swampton's here. Anna from Germany. Greetings, Serbian Bull. Just a great guy. Michael, Sister Nino, welcome. Always Honest, one of the best ladies around and joins in frequently. Flack 88. Let's see. Klasha, another great lady who participates in Davis's Lady Night. Let's see. Nightwolf, greetings. Fucker. Fucker. He hates Israel. I do too. Let's see. Anybody else? Oh, Flack 88. I don't know if I said you or not. Greetings. And Thomas Dreyer, the great one, Nightwolf Seer, I think I did say that. And all right, that's about it for now. Great to see everybody here. I'm sure there'll be more coming in soon. So, hey, if ever there was one snapshot of a headline that sums up why I absolutely hate street-shitting Pajits, it's this story. Check this out. So, according to the Daily Mail, headline reads, girl 13 is gang raped by four men in India only to be raped again by a police officer when she reported the attack. How about that, man? If that doesn't inspire you to think about how great India and Hindus are, I don't know what would.
You know, what can I add? I
street shitting animals.
I've made clear my feelings on these people and I see them all the time. On the regular here. I don't know what the population is like in Virginia, but basically most retail, you know, sort of what I call mini market, you know, convenience store, liquor store, lots of pizza parlors are going to be running them. Not just, I mean, they're working there and obviously they're going to have friends and relatives working for them, but I can't stand it. I mean, and I want to yell all the time because multiple occasions it's like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? It's English.
Yeah.
I fucking hate them. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I know. Davis, any thoughts? I mean, they don't belong here. Just like so many of the muds and the groids do not simply belong here. And I got a story. So my wife has pneumonia, right? So I'm going to pick up her doctor wants to put her on a real powerful antibiotic. And then after 10 days of that, she's supposed to go on an antifungal, right? So this black as night Nigerian or some kind of African, you have to be counseled by the physician, right? I'm like, okay. So he comes to the window where I'm picking up the prescriptions and says, he looks at him and he's like, You need to stagger these every 2 to 3 hours apart. And I'm like, okay, every 2 to 3 hours apart. Got it. Walks away, right? So get him home. And my wife, like any sane white person, reads the instructions, right? The instructions say, take the powerful antibiotic for 10 days, then go on the antifungal because the antibiotic's going to mess up the gut biome and blah, blah, blah. So this dude is paid and he's a pharmacist for CVS. And this dipshit didn't even look at the instructions that the physician wanted. And just, I mean, they don't belong in this country. So there you go.
But the question is, was he wearing a white coat?
He was just wearing a dress shirt.
Why. If he had a white coat on, it would be different.
He might have been better, right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Harry Potter glasses.
Nothing like Nigerian doctors. So you guys remember that skit back in the day? I'm sure Giuseppe does, but Saturday Night Live, Here Comes Mr. Bill's Dog.
And yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Remember Dr. Sluggo? And interestingly, he was black.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dr. Sluggo. Sluggo was always messing up Mr. Bill. Those are actually funny, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was funny. There was a lot of racial stuff that, you know, was okay back then. I don't think they would allow that now. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Kind of reminds me, too, of, you know, remember the old Three Stooges, right? Dr. Moe, Dr. Larry, Dr. Curly.
Yep. So,
listen, I sent you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, please.
If you get a bit of. So I sent you a video, one that is very powerful, that had to do with the subject matter that I introduced on Friday night. And I'm going to suggest, I got a bunch of other stuff lined up, you know, your typical black and other type of videos, but we could play it solid. I mean, for like, whatever, half an hour, believe me, everybody in the audience, as well as yourselves, will be, will find it compelling. And so I'll leave it up to you, but it'll be like I said, a school day where they come in to show a film. And then, of course, we could talk about it.
Sure. I mean, Davis, what do you think? You want to check out We Are All Infected, Transhuman Nanobots Are in Your Blood?
Sure. Let's go all the way.
All right. First, I want to play this. This is what's disgusting to me about these head up their ass so far. They can give their tonsils a kiss, libtards, right? So the asshole... Thanks. These dumb assholes in Boston elected this chink. I believe her name is Hu Flung Poo. And so listen to this. This is Hu Flung Poo telling us how the United States really works, right? Check this out. It's very short.
Wow. Every human being has the legal right to come to the United States and seek asylum or shelter.
No, that's not right, Hu Flung Poo. The reality is there's we have laws that regulate the border, that there's a process you can apply to come to the United States, and you have no right to come to the United States, Hu Flung Poo. And what's wrong with these dipshits in Boston and Massachusetts and Cambridge who are fucking electing this moron dipshit chink?
It's hard to believe she was actually elected. You know, these people are just, many of them are just placed. I firmly do not believe that Gavin Newsom won subsequent election after his first one. He probably did win the first time here just because people were not on to him. But I mean, he's got all the appeal of, you know, he's the kind of guy, a friend of mine from college used to say, you wouldn't want to leave him alone with your grandmother if she had a couple of quarters in her purse, you know? Yeah. And, you know, he just has that creepy, creepy vibe. And so, yeah, I can't imagine that broad Hu Flung Poo that you just talked about there. She has zero appeal. I mean, she has no, you know, what I would call, you know, electricity or charisma. I mean, at least Trump, you know, he's like, you love him or you hate him. And, you know, he pisses people off and he galvanizes them. And you can see the kind of guy that he is out there in the world. I mean, we know what he is in terms of our, you know, white nationalism, white racial interest and our government. But, you know, the bottom line is that Trump has got that kind of personality where he would pretty much do well in any business because there'd be enough people that would be on his side and or interested to you know, to basically follow his lead or follow his agenda. So, yeah, how these women like that, or what's his name, the guy from Pete Buttigieg, you know, whatever. I mean, these people, again, I don't understand how the average person can actually, you know, believe that they're legitimately elected. But, you know, this is the world that we live in.
That's a great point. Now, pause the video. Go ahead.
By the way, real quick, I was going to say, could you repeat that? Do you have, I mean, that what you just said about their head so far up and kissing their tonsils, or was that something on the fly, or is that like something you already had prepared?
Yeah, this was on the fly. I mean, I augmented the old chestnut head up your ass, right? I tried to improve it on the fly.
That's not bad. Yeah, well, just minimal by way of introduction. So as I mentioned on Friday night's show, I took a little journey this last week. Just a lot of material is going to be new to me and probably to most people, but it just reminded me of the sort of material that I came across many, many years ago. And it's been now expanded upon, and, you know, people have dove down the rabbit holes. So this is just one of about five or six different videos or panel discussions that I watched, as well as time spent reading articles. This person that we're going to see here, Dr. Anna Mahalsia, she's got 1,000+ articles on her Substack.
Yeah, she's a sharp woman, yeah.
Yeah, she just recently sent out an email saying that she's going to retire from this public writing and just concentrate on her longevity clinic. But this is a very, very powerful presentation, and it just is a reminder of what it is we're all facing, and it kind of makes politics irrelevant. So that being said, go as long as you want, and then we can...
Well, why don't we do this? If any of you fellows want to make a comment, just say pause, and we can stop and...
Okay.
Observations. So here we go.
It's powerful. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Release of the COVID vaccines. Scientists around the world began reporting odd structures in the blood detected via dark field microscopy, a method of examining live blood under a microscope. Undertakers such as Richard Hirschman and John O'Looney reported long white clots in the blood vessels of cadavers, structures they had never seen prior to the vaccines. Unfortunately, though, it is no longer just the blood of the vaccinated that is affected. Dr. Anna Maria Mahalsia has been performing dark field microscopy for years and reporting her findings on Substack and in her books, most recently her two-volume work, Transhuman. Her research shows the same structures that were formerly only seen in the blood of the vaccinated are now also present in the unvaccinated. Heavy metals, moving nanobots, and self-assembling nanostructures. Fortunately, Dr. Mahalsia has also been studying treatments to clear our blood of these foreign invaders. She joins me today to show her findings and to discuss treatments available to us all to clear our blood and restore our health. Dr. Mahalsia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I invited you to do this interview because I have read your books, both of them, Transhuman. I've been following your blog. I started a few years ago a freedom organization in response to our government stepping on our constitutional rights and vaccines being forced on people. So I was well aware of what we were finding in the blood back then. But what you have found is that now the same structures that we saw before in the blood of the vaccinated, you're now finding in the blood of the unvaccinated. Would you please explain what you're finding?
Yes, absolutely. And let me give you just a little bit of background, because if you look at this problem simply from the medical perspective of spike proteins, it's not comprehensible. So what I started to do is really look at the broader context of transhumanism, and that literally the goal of the transhumanism is to fuse humanity with technology. And so the modality in which this is occurring in the fourth industrial revolution, as Klaus Schwab has discussed, is in a stealth way, meaning that humans will not be able to sense this, but as Klaus Schwab said, it will change us from the inside, and that the COVID-19 pandemic was the great reset into this new era. And so I look at it from that perspective, and I also I study very carefully the technocratic literature. For example, Yuval Harari says the soul and the spirit of humanity will be a thing of the past, and we will have automatons. So what I was asking myself was, what is the technological platform to make that happen? And so I can certainly share my screen, and then what I will do is explain a bit about really what I am seeing, and then what some of the background is. So what you see here in the background is one of these filaments that people are seeing, and the filaments themselves you can see with different microscopes. But what I have been looking at is what is creating the filaments, because when you are already seeing the nanorobots in these construction zones in the blood, then I already know that the end results will be some of these polymers that we see. And what, for example, large institutions like the European Commission even discuss is that a new human will emerge that is a transhuman. So part technology, synthetic biology, the convergence of nanorobotics and artificial intelligence for the express purpose of also creating this intrabody area network, which is a network of biosensors. And the point is to integrate all of us into the internet of bio-nano things and ultimately collect data from us and then upload that into the metaverse as our digital twin that will be manipulated and changed by artificial intelligence. And what people also need to understand is that a huge driver is a public private partnership, but also military is who's driving it. People have heard of DARPA, and there are documents, for example, this document from the U.S. Army called Cyborg Soldier 2050, in which all of these technologies are described, and they say that the global healthcare market will fuel the human-machine enhancement technologies, primarily to augment the loss of functionality from injury or disease, for example, you know, a missing limb or a paralyzed person or Alzheimer's disease. And defense applications will likely not drive the market in its later stages. And I want to say that even though this document says 2050, the time is happening right now. And it's the healthcare market through things like mRNA platform, the COVID-19 biological weapons of mass destruction, as well as all other injectable in which I have found this technology. So the study group anticipated that the gradual introduction of the beneficial restorative cyborg technologies will, to an extent, acclimatize the population to their use. So the point is this, that all of these technologies are dual purpose. And what that means is that they are can be used for precision medicine. They can tell you they're going to cure cancers and dementia and all of these different things. But the back door is also a militarized and weaponized use. And this is why nanotechnology isn't regulated. So there's no safety regulation on any of this stuff because it is a militarized technology that was developed through DARPA. And I want to remind people that DARPA was the organization that in 2013 funded Moderna to develop the mRNA platform.
I want to pause it a second and get your guys' thoughts on, you know, a lot of people like that other woman who, what the hell? Oh, I got to close this real quick. Let me do this real quick. We'll come back to that in a second. What is it? Sasha Taktapova or whatever her name is.
Latapova.
Latapova. She's been, you know, saying for since she came on the scene almost 2 years ago that the military's behind all this all. So the military takes orders. So who is giving the orders to do this genocidal, just sick transhuman shit and infecting the world against the population's will?
Well, just so you know, we won't have time to play it today, but this is a subject matter you could do multiple shows on and just get layered into the various ways to present it, right? There's mm-hmm. a 13-minute clip I have stored ready to go too. It's a little snippet from a Joe Rogan interview, and there's a guy talking about the whole Epstein network and the kind of money that was behind it and that was funding the whole operation. And he mentions in this little clip about the military as well as these other people that are everybody's, you know, the scientists, right? They all are funded. So there's a, let's face it, the people that control the money, right, control the politicians and control the government. They're driving the bus. And so it's a, you know, again, it's multifaceted, but it's not hard to figure out. And these people, like I said, I don't have any knowledge about Kurzweil being gay, right? But is there any doubt that Klaus Schwab is gay, a gay Jew? And, you know, Harari's a gay Jew. Peter Thiel's a gay Jew. I mean, this is just a completely sick, upside-down world.
Right.
And the natural men of, you know, what I call strength and integrity and decency, we're not in charge. And it sickens me because these fucking gay Jews would not be in charge in any normal sense in any normal workplace, right? Can you imagine,
right.
You know, down at the loading docks, the head of the stevedores is some gay Jew? No. Right?
Nah, yeah.
Can you imagine on a construction site, you know, the type of guy that would be, you know, like a charge superintendent, a gay Jew? Does that fit the – no. You know, the quarterback of the football team, is he a gay Jew? No. Again, these people have succeeded in perverting the world, and that's why it makes me so disgusted.
Right.
I mean, it's a whole other rant. We don't go down the road because you and I can both rant on this topic, but this whole diversity bullshit, you know, it's just promoting the dysgenic, promoting the dysfunctional, promoting the least qualified. I mean, and what do? They program us to hate the Nazis. And what do the Nazis stand for, right? But basically the natural order, strength, you know, beauty, courage, all that stuff. Anyway.
Exactly. Davis, do you have any thoughts on this classic pyramid of power? Like, who is telling the military to go against, in the United States, that is, you swore an oath to the Constitution and protect this country, and so clearly they're traitors. Who's driving the bus to get this done, Davis?
Well, that we don't know, of course. So we've known for a long time, like, people first realized Donald Trump didn't run anything.
Right.
In 2016. And then certainly Joe Biden, the corpse, everyone knew he wasn't running anything. So the only question we should have been asking from that point forward is, okay, who the fuck is in charge? But somehow that question has gone into the background because Trump is so good at occupying and controlling news cycles. And this is what he does. So it's always the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. What happened to just mention any of the things that have come and gone? Have you had a satisfactory Fort Knox auditing? Do you feel comfortable about that? Or, oh, no, that was just the news.
Right.
So it just comes and goes. It comes and goes. This is what Trump is going to do for 4 years. And every time he does something that sounds remotely based, the retards will put the red hat back on. That's all that's to that. Anna says mRNA is now not DARPA anymore. They split into ARPA-H, which is DARPA for health. I guess that's true. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that gets mentioned later on in this particular broadcast, but also Sasha Latipova mentions that about, you know, the ARPA.
There's also an IARPA, which is the CIA spooks DARPA. So it gets worse when you start looking into it.
In any case, nobody in their right mind, no normal or natural human being, would think of or want to do something like this. In other words, you know, what you would call no normal Gentile, okay, or Christian or Aryan would come up with an agenda to infect the world. But that's precisely what they're doing. And it just, like I said, I went down this journey last week because I wanted to, and I just needed to remind myself of it. But you go back and Clifford Carnicom talking about this stuff 2005.
Right.
You know, some of the stuff he was finding in 2003, even. And there's many, many great references online, too. I should supply you guys with all the tabs you could start to press. But yeah, like I said, this is we're not going to see the whole thing today because you'll probably cut it off. But it gets very compelling here quickly.
Well, one more statement, actually. So I was just about to finish and mention that the mRNA platform she just referenced is look, I don't pretend to be a virologist to really understand all this, but the story on the outside, just the gross features of the story sound crazy. I mean, maybe this is true, that mRNA technology is when you have these a bunch of nano liquid particles that encompass a single strand of mRNA that goes into your cell, right? It enters your ribosome, and then proteins are printed out that emulate the protein signature of the virus.
Right.
And that's the supported function of mRNA. I've never heard a crazier story.
Yeah, and actually,
well, this is not a vaccine, it's gene therapy, right? That's they claim, and again, I question if they have this level of technology. They claim to be able to program at the nano level this artificial, you know, mRNA instruction set. And so, you know, how do they get something that small to function that way? It just doesn't really track for me. But
yeah. Again, yeah, we it's something we should watch most or all of it, and then go back and get you know, we can maybe even do another show on it. But I will tell you this, that it's hard to comprehend and to grasp at all, because it's just, like I said, it's kind of in the realm of science fiction and, of course, real, real science that, you know, none of us here are probably privy to.
Right.
But you got to look into nanotech. There's all kinds of videos and articles you can read on nanotechnology and, you know, where did it come from and what is it? What was their purpose? What are they trying to do? And then, of course, the whole subject of miniaturization, if I'm saying that correct, right? It's really something that's just absolutely fascinating. And you can be sure that they would advance far beyond what I saw when I was working at a company called American Microsystems back in the 70s. I was a security guard, but you know, they had on display in the lobby. Actually, that was back in the day. I worked at all kinds of high-tech companies because it was just a nice, easy job, you know, when I was going to college, right? And it's really amazing what they do to basically start with, you know, a big drawing of an integrated circuit on a big drafting board. Mm-hmm. And they take photographs of it and they shrink it down. And I remember having a conversation with a guy and he just was fascinated to me. He talked about the fact that they grow these chips, or basically they have an etching process, and essentially the way they etch it on these silicon wafers, you know, is similar to the way they grow something with the crystals. And, you know, again, that was 50 years ago. So you can be sure that whatever it is they're trying to do or they plan to do to us is quite well thought out and advanced. And more than likely, they can create anything in what I would call a normal size. And then through some sort of technological process of miniaturization, they can get it so now it goes inside of us and does whatever it is they want it to do, which is, again, well, let's watch some more and you guys will see.
Right. And just want to make one quick reference. It's pretty much common knowledge, because I've heard hundreds of people who've been inside say the same thing in many different fields, that the real knowledge of science and reverse engineering and everything is about 40 to 50 years ahead of what they release to the general public, right? So, I mean, you could be right. So here we go. This is really fascinating.
And there have been many other fundings of biotechnological companies to do this. So this is my evaluation of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID bioweapon under a dark field microscope. So that's what I use, because in bright field, you cannot see the nanorobots. So what you see here is a drop of the Pfizer solution at about 400 times magnification. You can see that there are microchips that are being built. And all of these things are nano and micro robots. And you can see that they are blinking. They're communicating with each other through light signals, and they are artificially intelligently controlled, and they then grow microchips, which I will show you later. But the reason why this is important is this is one of the aspects that I'm looking for in the blood, and this is smaller than a red blood cell. So you can only see it sometimes in different places, but you can clearly see this is very active. The larger pieces, I call them the generals, and they are coordinating the swarm-like behavior of these much smaller particles that are in estimate about 500 nanometers here. So I can see about down to that scale with my microscope. And what you see here is a larger magnification, 2,000 times. You see very complex microchip-like structures that are being assembled in a coordinated fashion. And so we know that these chips, as well as these sensors that in other technological literature have been also quantified as quantum dots. You can look at smart dust. So what these are, they are biological telemetry. So what that means is that they are bidirectional. They send information about, let's say, chemical information, about electrical information. They can, measure all kinds of physiological information about the human body. Then they can also build things. So here you see different structures. This is a beginning of these filamental or larger mesogen structures that we see in the blood, and these are DNA sensors. You see these complex structures. And what is important is that these bubbles that are surrounding them, these micellar liposomal structures, are key to this because they contain the nanoparticles, and then from the nanoscale, they self-assemble to a micro scale that can be then visible under the microscope. And the structures become pretty elaborate. You can see these filaments. That's exactly what we see in people's blood. And by the way, that has been seen now for 30 years with something called Morgellons. So that was sprayed also via geoengineering operation, again, militarized. To, for example, insert this smart dust into people. So we're in the final stage of the transhumanist technocratic fusion of humanity with technology. But then what you see is you see these bubbles here. Those are not air bubbles under the slide, but they're construction zones. And what you see, for example, here is that you see these little tiny dots, and then you see that the microchip is being developed within it, and then is basically being sort of expulsed. Here again, you can see also the bluish glow from these bubbles, and I will show you later what that looks like in the blood. Now, when I left the contents of the Pfizer vials on the slide a little bit later, eventually they also developed these fluorescent type structures. And the reason why that's important is that I had a DOD, former DOD contractor who came to me and said, you know, Dr. Anna, there is this glow that I see from the vaccinated individual. Their faces glow orange, and there are these filaments that come out of their skin exactly like Morgellons. And it turns out that there's an Argentinian group, Dr. Marcela Sangorin and Lorena de Blasi, they also published a paper on 57 vials that were investigated, and they did fluorescent microscopy as well as mass spectroscopy, and they found over 54 undeclared chemical agents, including lanthanides. And lanthanides are fluorescent metals that are paramagnetic. Remember when people were saying, oh, spoons are, magnetically kind of attracted to the vax people? That's because paramagnetic materials were being injected into them. And so we can see that some of the building blocks of these fluorescent material that is exiting people is also developing from the COVID vials and the self-assembling. So what people need to understand is that the self-assembly occurs over time. So, for example, this slide here is something that developed after 5 days, this structure. So it takes a while. The swarming just continues for weeks on end. It really doesn't stop. And then these robots, they start to grow larger and larger structures. So where my big breakthrough in understanding came about the nano and micro robots was when I received embalmed blood by Richard Hirschman, the embalmer. And so he sent me blood of a vaccinated individual who had died with the rubbery clots. And he called it coffee grounds. And I said, I want to look at that. So when I got the vial, the first thing that I saw is, you know, you see the embalmed red blood cells. They look kind of shriveled up. But the same filaments that we see in the blood were also in this embalmed blood. And what was very interesting, so this is a video of continued self-replication 8 months after death, okay? And I always tell people this is absolutely consistent with the findings of Dr. Pedro Chavez from Comusav, who found that the MAC address emission of vaccinated people from the gravesite still goes on. And so you see that these bubbles, which are these micellar liposomes, they are filled with these robots. And I'm just speeding this up a little bit, but you can see how massive this self-assembly continues to be. And you see that this kind of hydrogel-like substance filled with robot is being exposed. And that all of these little things are chambers and they just continue to replicate. So all of those are robots. If I speed it up, you can see how massive this is. This is just 6 minutes and how much stuff has been built from the nanoscale to the microscopic scale. And then, by the way, over here, what you see in the blood, let me turn this on. You see some of the robots, like this thing is a metallic object that's actually moving. And I also filmed some micro robots. But this right here is a 4,000 times magnification. So this is as high as I can go in magnification of embalmed blood. This is a red blood cell. It's 5 micrometers. It's about 500 nanometers here. And you can see how the robots, number one, they're moving. Number two, they're emitting different light frequencies. You can see green. You can see yellow. And they are very, continue to be very active. You see blue here. So these robots, they communicate and they can affect the human genes and the cells via optogenetics. So optogenetics means that we can manipulate all aspects of the cell cycle with light, and they can do this through the deployment of this light inside of the blood. So we can already be genetically modified through that, as well as it's a biosensor, as well as it's a robot. So here again, this is the same blood 2 years after death. And in these big vials, you can bubbles here or liposomes, you can see the continued movement of these robots in this blood clot and some self-assembly. And if I this is again 4,000 times magnification. You can see, I mean, these things are tiny. If at 4,000 magnification, it's barely visible, you're looking at hundreds of nanometers. It's very, very small, but they are very active. Clearly this was a huge breakthrough in my understanding of this to see, you know, how is this technology working? How are the micro robots correlated with what is going on in the blood and ultimately the manufacturing of these rubbery clots and then the brain computer interface? Now, this is unvaccinated blood, and what you see here is the blood. You see micro robots. I call these the generals, the large ones. And then the smaller ones are nanobots. And they are swarming. They are hijacking the blood. You see that the blood cells are in distress. And they're using their energy to build this microchip. It's a mesogen DNA microchip. So this is, again, unvaccinated blood. And you can see how they are coordinated. They're intelligent. They are absolutely swarming around, you know, the blood. So you have billions and billions of them. And remember that Ido Balanchet, who was hired by Pfizer to develop DNA robots, he gave a lecture and discussed how in one syringe he can put 100 billion robots. And that's exactly, you know, what I see now in humans, because this stuff, when they're at the nanoscale, they're so small, they're like a gas. So they can enter through our eyes, our skin, they can be inhaled. And we know from the Pfizer documents that it states in the document that looked at the Pfizer BioNTech, that a man who would inhale the air around a vaccinated woman, that man then could transmit the vaccine to another unvaccinated woman. So you don't need to touch, you don't need to have sex, you don't need to, you know, be intimate. You just need to inhale the air in the same building and you can get transfected with these this technology. And so this microchip then eventually when it's built, so you have a polymer base. And then you have the robots themselves that are the antenna and they build integrated circuitry. Now, in regards to people are always asking me about the spike protein, what about that? So remember that the NIH, Dr. Francis Collins, the director, had posted on their website an article that a quantum dot that has a virus-like particle attached to it can give the same antibody response as if there was a COVID virus. And this was then also discussed by even Anthony Fauci, who discussed the self-assembling nanoparticles, by Bill Gates. And the whole point is that now bionanotechnology can mimic these virus-like particles. And the other aspect of it is people are always asking, you know, again about the spike protein. So the spike protein had a sequence that would create amyloid. Amyloid is this stuff that's kind of like a hydrogel that is also, for example, causing things like Alzheimer's and amyloidosis. Now, that was at pH of 4, but at pH 7, it would create hydrogel. So this is a synthetic biology, basically. Now, what you see here is one of these filaments, and then you see how intelligent these micro-robots are. First of all, they can travel at enormous speeds. We've calculated this to be at about 56 or so miles per hour, and they can absolutely intelligently, you know, avoid obstacles. They know where they're going. They can still communicate, you know, with each other. So they can target the brain. They can target any organ. They can pass the blood-brain barrier and there create the brain-computer interface. The chemical literature discusses how that now in, for example, brain biopsies from autopsies, they have found that 7 grams of microplastic, that's a teaspoonful plastic spoon, is within the brain. And so you see an extreme cognitive decline because the body cannot handle all of these microplastics. So the microplastics are the hydrogels that are being created by this. And according to MIT, they are the interface of the brain-computer interface. So what you see here is unvaccinated blood, and you see micro robots. They're harvesting the blood as an energy source. They're building a DNA messenger, and then you see this square-like microchip that's also being built. So nothing in the body is supposed to blink. All of these doctors that are denying the nanotechnology, first of all, it doesn't make sense because even the nanotechnology, President's Nanotechnology Initiative recognizes that the COVID bioweapons are the number one achievement of nanotechnology for humanity. So the mere fact that it's nanoscale makes it nanotechnology. But clearly, this is not a biological function, but it is a technological, aspect of all of this. So these microchips send radio frequencies. I have seen documents, absolutely, where the radio frequencies that are emitted by humans are used for cryptocurrency mining, exactly like the Bill Gates patent 060606 says. The radio frequency can be tracked via FAA signals. My colleague, Dr. Pedro Chavez, attracted to a private AI company that then literally is harvesting all data from the human beings that have this stuff in them. And I want to remind people whistleblower Celeste Solemn in 2018 was at an Army transhuman workshop, and where they said that by 2025, no natural humans will be alive. So this right here is unvaccinated blood. You see this liposomal micellar shape, this blue hue. It's filled with particles. And then what I show here is how it builds the filament. So you see that the blood has been harvested. It's in severe distress. Clifford Connicum and I, we did experiments with electrical conductivity on the blood and showed that it was decreased by up to 47%. So half of the life force hijacked. We are the battery for the technology, just like in the Matrix. And what you see here is that many of these micellar structures are conglomerating in order to basically spill their innards and build the filaments. And here you see a bit of a larger magnification, 2,000 times. And you see how these micro robots in 3D, they have this reddish center, and different colors, but they are then spilling their innards and the micro robots themselves become part of the filament, part of the technology. And we know now that these lipid vesicles are fully capable computers, and not just robots. They're able to calculate. They're absolutely artificially intelligent, and they are able to process data, send it through your cell phone to the cloud to feed the digital twin in the metaverse. And then also, this is bidirectional, meaning it's read and write. So signals can be sent to you via frequency, either from satellites or from your cell phone to manipulate you to biofrequency change you. Now, remember that Clifford Connicum and I, we also did research on the difference between vaxxed and unvaxxed blood, because microscopically you can no longer see a difference. And so we did spectroscopy with frequencies from 0 up to 25,000 hertz and found that vaccinated blood has extreme sensitivity to around 4 hertz, which is HARP, High Active Auroral Research Project, which is the ionospheric manipulation of our biosphere through, number one, militarized weather warfare. You can use that weapon to also create, you know, storms and droughts. And
this is really deeply disturbing to me, Paul. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad. It should deeply disturb anybody who sees it. And it's just, it's a topic where, like I said, you can just dive into it. I put maybe 12, I'd say probably more like 10 hours in last week, you know, but what's that? That's nothing. You know, that's a 10-hour day is, 8 hours of flipping hamburgers with 2 hours of overtime, you know. I mean, and it's intense, and it just comes together. See, the more that, you know, just like any topic, you put more time into it and you come at it from different angles, and things just start to coalesce in your mind. And to be honest with you, I think what they're trying to do, I mean, among the many things that we can be pretty sure of and we can guess, is they're going to turn us into walking cell phones. I mean, you know how anytime, anywhere, somebody can dial your number and not anybody else's. Like, if I call you, I'm calling you. I'm not calling somebody else, right? I think they're going to turn us into essentially human receivers and, you know, transmitters. And they can probably turn us off, fuck us up anytime they want. Kind of reminds me a little bit. You remember that old movie, science fiction movie, Robinson Crusoe on Mars?
And, sure, I remember that. That's like the 60s. Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool movie. But remember, he had like an electronic collar on his neck.
Yeah,
And basically, whenever he was, you know, going to get out of line or something, they probably just sent the signal, and it caused him like, you know, intense pain or whatever. And I really do feel that these fuckers are so sick. I mean, in addition to compromising our health. So I just wanted to pause briefly because it goes so many different directions, and a little bit
when I go to a website, I can show you all the different tabs that all the listeners can click on and just start reading and also watching, you know, videos that are linked in some of these articles. But she mentioned frequencies, right? And we've all heard about such things as the Schumann resonance and, you know, the sort of frequencies that they are bombarding us with, as opposed to what would be more harmonic for our existence, similar to what we've heard about music. So in other words, music, they, you know, deliberately chose a frequency that is not supposedly as good or as nice for us as another. And I forget exactly what it is. It's like 440 versus maybe you know a little bit more about than I do. But just quickly, without getting too rambling here, there was an article that I read about some of these frequencies and the sort of research they've already done. This is already known, that they can cause human mood to fluctuate. It's amazing, right? At a certain frequency, they can make you sad. At a certain frequency, they can make you angry. At a certain frequency, they can make you happy. And UCLA did experiments. In fact, Dr. Dean Bonnelly, who came up with these magnetic sleeping pads, he came upon research where they had systematically deprived people of the Earth's magnetic field in a series of experiments. And it didn't take more, in some cases, more than 30 minutes to drive people insane by completely eliminating or vastly reducing the Earth's magnetic field through some special equipment they had designed. So, yeah.
Sick shit, man. Sick shit.
Yeah. So we're in for it. And that's why I kind of say, I mean, you know, is it something that, you know, you should allow it to make yourself unhappy and miserable and angry all the time? Well, no. I mean, you know, what's his name? Smugtard, you know, had some points to make about the fact that, you know, well, you know, you drive yourself crazy, right? But at the same time, okay, to not be aware of this and to not be concerned, to not think about, okay, what is it we can do? You know, how can we address this? I mean, as I've always said about all this stuff, right? We should be making decisions as, you know, as a group, as a race, or as men, making decisions such as, can we fight, and how would we go about it? How would we best go about attacking this issue, right, or this problem? To me, to make a decision, should we fight, is insane. You know, it's like, what? Why don't you just roll over and die if you don't think we should fight?
Well, that's a great point. Davis, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this, really. I just know how small a nanometer is. And I suppose the only thing to do to really confirm is, I guess we can see the limits of the dark field microscopy. I don't know the smallest it can see, but that'd be the first thing to check. And then after that, try to confirm what these images are. It's extremely disturbing, and I'm all about trust but verify. But
me too. Well, doesn't it seem, fellas, that Morgellons was generation one of this heinously evil technology, and now the mRNA is like gen two, right? And clearly they don't have it mastered, and these are just actual illegal, immoral experimentations on humans. And so at some point we need to put an end to this. And the second part of that is, I also have a firm belief that nature always wins, right? And so how can we use nature to battle this and keep us all healthy? So two-part question.
Yeah, and again, this will bear more discussion, but I would just caution this notion that nature always wins, because these people, I mean, you know, if somebody shoots you and a bullet hits you, I don't know how nature's going to win there. Technology wins in that case.
You're going apples and oranges there. You know, that's not the issue. That's sort of a mechanistic universe versus, you know, nanotech trying to subvert the you know, life on Earth. They're two vastly different things.
Well, sure. I thought it was somewhat valid of an analogy. Think of it this way. Somebody hits you upside the head with a 2x4. That's one thing, right? But if somebody, that's, you know, a real physical material, you know, intervention, but it's a large scale. Somebody designs something to go inside of your body, inside of your blood, and to wreak havoc in some way, shape, or form. Well, that's another. I don't know if you remember, but pretty early on, there was a guy, I think he was a German researcher, if not mistaken, and he came out talking about the graphene and the graphene oxide and basically saying that in his opinion, because it was such a very fine, basically not much more than like a single atom layer structure, that it was like putting X-Acto knives inside your blood vessels. I don't know if you recall this or not. It was pretty quickly after, you know, the vaccines came out. Remember the La Quinta Columna and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, that guy ended up dying in a mysterious way of some sort. And I could probably find the link somewhere. But the idea was what he said was essentially this is going to cause the blood clots because you're injuring the inside of the blood vessels. And of course, right. what comes next is the fibrin, you know, for the repair. And all these big rubbery clots, she'll talk about it later and other people do as well. They're fibrin. You know, there's massive amounts of fibrin that are filling up the arteries and the blood vessels. So yeah, you know, again, she does talk about later on, the chelating with the EDTA as well as ascorbic acid. These are quite effective. But, of course, you're going to continue to get reinfected. That's what these people are doing. There's a reason they continue to spray all the time. They can't just do it once or twice. It's just so they're trying to continuously. And let's face it, it's wreaking havoc on the natural world. Everybody knows this who's looked into the topic, right. Whether the birds and the bees and the bugs and everything else in between and the trees. It's just this is a multifaceted attack. So can we prevail in the end? I don't know. In other words, we being natural human beings that are opposed to this.
Right.
We're up against it because as we can see, if we give these sorts of people, our enemy, unlimited funds and, you know, acquiesce to their various agendas and programs, then, you know, I don't see an optimistic outcome.
Do you guys recall how small she said the particles or clusters were, these nanoparticles?
I can't quote her. I
have to watch it again. Just keep in mind for you two guys here and as well as the listeners that I watched five or six of these presentations, okay? And I also read multiple articles. Again, I'm not making a big deal. I'm no scholar on this, but I put 10 to 12 hours in, 10 to 12 good hours in last week. And prior to that, I was on top of the whole chemtrail thing. I mean, when Will Thomas came out with his first video or DVD, I watched it back in, I think, the late 90s or early 2000s. I own Clifford Carnicom's DVD. In fact, if you just go to his site and just start clicking on links, I mean, that's it. You'll be blown away. And he's been doing it for 25 to 30 years studying this stuff. Really, he's an amazing, dedicated guy.
Well, this is fucked up shit. I guess let's watch a little more, and then we'll have our everybody, and we should start going more into this because this has got to be stopped, you know. And I know the one way it needs to be stopped is literally violence. There is no, you know, have to make such a statement that this never comes back, right? Where's the warrior class, man? Where's the fucking warrior class?
Yeah, there's obviously people behind this. So those people, you know, their modalities need to be, identified, located, and then people have to get together and say, you know, it's really like those movies from the 50s and 60s, the science fiction movies where the people of the town got together. You know, they got to do something.
Literally. All right, here we go. Let's listen some more.
And together with the chemicals that are being constantly sprayed on us, which we're also inhaling, and they're also part of this technology that's basically part of a complete global takeover of humanity. And the problem that I see and why I'm so outspoken is that ultimately, like Dr. Robert Duncan said, this is to hijack the human soul, because once you have AI basically compute the superposition discussion of any of your decisions in the cloud while, you know, observing and monitoring your brain frequency. If it feels like your choice isn't the right one, it can just insert a frequency that in your brain will look like a thought that you think you have, but you're now a zombie automaton that is being mind controlled through artificial intelligence. So in my research of number one, the Moderna patent, and so I have an anti-aging clinic. I'm a certified chelation practitioner. I've done this for many years, and I pull metals out of the body. And what I saw very early on is that the EDTA and ascorbic acid have amazing results in regenerating people. But then in 2023, the Moderna patent came out that actually said, if you want to inhibit nanoparticles, you use EDTA, a chelator, and combine it with ascorbic acid, and it would completely inhibit the nanoparticles. And then what you see here is, so the same vial with all the swarming robots, I just put one drop of EDTA and vitamin C in it, and you see that it's like a nuclear bomb was dropped. Nothing's moving. And so basically it completely deactivates them. And the reason why it does that is several fold. So number one, the micro robots inside, they have a semiconducting piece of metal in there, and the EDTA can chelate that out. Number two, EDTA can also pull out the start signal for polymerization. So polyethylene, the polymer, in order for it to start replicating or building, you know, those filaments, it requires aluminum and titanium as a start signal. And again, EDTA pulls that out, so it inhibits that. If you see here, there's a larger magnification. All those robots that were moving, nothing's moving here, and you just have a debris field. So, I've written about this in my books,
Let me stop this for a second. So EDTA is ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid. And so combine that with ascorbic acid, which is one part of the actual vitamin C biomolecule. So you're talking about if you give people an IV of vitamin C and some EDTA, you're going to totally blow this up. So she already has the solution, Paul?
Sorry, I had to unmute. Yeah, well, of course, this is one of the therapies that she uses, yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and continue for a little bit more.
All right, then.
Transhuman 1 and 2. And I think that in general, you know, these treatment modalities are complicated. You know, it's not just about anybody being able to just take the EDTA and vitamin C orally, because at this point people are so contaminated. If you think about that, Dane Wigginton spoke about this also in an interview with me, that we're inhaling about a credit card size of polymers, plastics, and metals per month. So the burden of this stuff is just enormous. If you look at my Substack, I've done microscopy of animal blood. For example, I went to the store and just bought meat, organic and non-organic. I bought dairy products and looked at them on the microscope. And basically everything is contaminated, either through vaccination or geoengineering. Same thing, you know, we looked at wild animals like deer blood, same thing, squirrel, same thing. Then we looked at beef. I had one patient come in who is a carnivore, and I mean, his blood just looked awful, and he felt really, really terrible. And I was like, well, what have you done different? Well, we ate this one cow, you know, that they grass fed, wasn't vaxxed. And so he brought some blood, and the blood of the cow looked exactly like his blood. So basically the problem was that, you know, the polymer had replicated in the beef, and then the ingestion of it contaminated him. So it's a very complicated assault that is massive. And, I found that, what you have to do is you cannot clean up somebody completely at this point anymore. What you can do is do the best you can to disable the building blocks, you know, the microbots, the metals, and then give electron donors to regenerate the blood, because once it starts clumping like this and you have no movement, you don't have any oxygen delivery, then what you have is an accelerated aging. So that's what we're seeing in people. You know, they get brain fog and heart palpitations and this chronic fatigue and peripheral neuropathy, because clinically this stuff is attacking the cells. And so you have, 30 years of aging in a few months. And I'm an anti-aging specialist. So when I started to see this in functional testing, like I do brain EEG testing, I do autonomic nervous system function testing. I mean, this is not good news for humanity. And I think that we really need to get to a point where people start acknowledging the nanotechnology and, looking at it and then using the solution. I very specifically have always discussed, because I work very closely with Dr. Hildegard Steininger, who is one of the top and leading advanced nanomaterials toxicologists in the world. There are certain things that you shouldn't be doing, like aluminum and silica, enhances the technology. So I wouldn't use that. So there's a lot of information out there that isn't well researched or is misleading. And I think it's very dangerous for humanity, because we're at a critical point. Now that the Replicon vaccines are being deployed, like they were just, authorized in the EU, they were authorized in Japan, that is a potential extinction level event, because these machines, they can replicate, and there's something called the gray goose scenario that people, the nanotechnologists, really know, because they know that these things can be weapons of mass destruction, where these robots basically utilize all biological material on Earth and transform it. So I think it's very important that people become aware of it and do what they can to help themselves.
And thank you, Dr. Mihalcha, for showing us all that. I have a few questions. When you were showing us the blood and the structures in the blood, you made reference to the fact that we've been seeing this for about 30 years, and that has to be, I'm assuming, a result of the toxification of the environment, which you address in Volume 2 of Transhuman, where you show us the dark field microscopy of the blood of animals. You're showing us structures in milk. So my question would be, if this has been in our environment for at least 30 years now, to what degree did the COVID vaccines increase the severity of what we're seeing in the blood?
Great question. It's exponentially worse. So we've talked to, people who've done live blood analysis for 30, 40 years, and they would occasionally see some filaments in Morgellons victims, which there weren't that many. Okay. Now we see it in absolutely everyone in levels that are devastating. In one drop of blood, I see so much stuff. So it really has just exponentially increased.
Now, you made reference to the Replicon vaccines, and most of my viewers are aware of them because I've reported on this before. I've been interviewed on them before. The Replicon vaccines are designed to spread to other people.
Yep.
But it seems, and even 2 years ago, when I interviewed Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who probably understands on a microbiological level what these vaccines are doing to the human body better than anyone, she had a theory at that point in time that it was possible that people weren't just spreading the spike proteins or shedding them, they were also possibly shedding the vaccine. Do you think that it's the vaccine that is being shed, or do you think that it is the nanobots that are being shed? And I think it's an important question, because, as we know, the vaccines hijack the mitochondrial DNA. They actually make changes to it. So it has to do with the severity of how the unvaccinated are being affected.
Yes, let me show you a couple different slides to answer that question. So this is literature from biotechnology. And what it's discussing is that the mRNA vaccines are actually machines. And that is what a lot of doctors are not understanding. So they are thinking that the RNA is just this strand of genetic material. But what it says is, you know, so first of all, you have a virus-like replicant particle. It in itself has capacity to self-assemble. And then the other part of the replicant aspect are the liposomes or the lipid nanoparticles. So that also can self-replicate. So that would be the nano and the microbots. And absolutely, they do shed. So here you can see that the virus-like replicant particle has these little, you know, components to it. And you have an RNA signal that can also replicate, but it can also do work. It in itself can act like a biocomputer. So what this is saying, this is the Moderna patent from 2020, and it says that here are polymer-based self-assembling nanoparticles that are fully programmable, meaning they can do computerized and robotic work. And here you see how that works. Lipid vesicle-based molecular robots is this. So they have sensors on the outside. Part of their components may be biological, but the RNA, for example, can do computation. And this is signal communication with living cells. They are biosensors. And so they can also, just like a regular computer that is just a machine, this biology has been hijacked to perform computations and be a computer. So that's what people are not understanding. So the replicant aspect is, yes, it can modify the human genetic material, but it's also an absolute control-based use. And for example, these are capable to assemble in tissue-like structures. So remember that the technocratic transhumanists, they want to replace the human body atom by atom through nanotechnology. And it can disassemble and reassemble, reshuffle materials, release cargo, triggered by light temperature fluctuation, magnetic fields, or biomarkers. And it can it's an automata, meaning a computer that can run at the rate of 109 transitions per second in an input-responsive matter, and it is the prototype of the smallest biocomputer as certified by Guinness World Records. So this is what people are not understanding, that this material is a computer and a robotic structure.
All right. Now, you showed us those nanobots that were emitting light, turning it on and off, and you're telling us that those are communicating with each other. But I wanted to connect that with something else that was in your book, where you showed some structures that looked very much to me like antenna. And we're all also been, you know, everybody's aware that they're quite likely able to send signals via 5G or other RF types of signals. Do you think there's, well, here, I'm just going to come right up with my theory from reading your book. It's very difficult to get radio frequency 5G signals to penetrate the body. They'll only penetrate for a couple of millimeters. But if you had these antenna that, and yes, you show these pictures and it looks a whole lot like antenna to me. If you had these antenna just beneath the skin to receive the signal and then pass it on to those light emitting nanobots, could that be the way that that signal would be replicated through the entire body, even carried to the brain?
So, this is where, you know, my first book comes in. My first book called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, the Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity, proposes to look at the body from a biophysics perspective. And biophysics know that we are a biophotonic light field that operates over 72 octaves of photons and phonons. And what it knows is that the way a coherent light field communicates is that if one photon hits the retina, it can initiate a cascade of 100,000 biochemical reactions. So what you have to understand is that these people understand our bioelectric and bioelectromagnetic field, and that a signal that can be inserted in one area of the biophotonic field can be amplified for the whole in terms of a grid-like, how would you say, a grid-like fashion or communication. So at the quantum level, which nanostructures operate in on quantum physics, there's entanglement. What that means is if two particles of light are entangled, what happens to one particle happens to the other. So that would mean that the nanoparticle in your left toe that is entangled with a nanoparticle in your brain, they can instantaneously communicate because this is quantum computing. It has a processing capacity that is on a much different level than Newtonian physics.
All right. So that brings us to the question of what kind of signal could they send? And I've heard all kinds of competing theories all the way from people who think they can actually control your thoughts to those who say, well, no, they couldn't do that. But they could, say, stimulate your amygdala to produce a fear response, which would make people very easy to manipulate. What do you think, Dr. Mihalcea?
So any signal can be hijacked, and people need to understand that psychotronics research that really started with MK Ultra, the CIA research after World War II, looked at electrodes, for example. Dr. Delgado, who implanted the electrode in the bull and was able to stop the bull, instantaneously in the arena. So this technology is so far ahead because it was developed in a clandestine fashion. And where I got my information from was really from the declassified research and then whistleblowers like Dr. Robert Duncan. He worked with CIA and DARPA and developed the artificial intelligence global control algorithm. And he discussed that there are underground supercomputers that have been monitoring the brainwaves of every human being on Earth for decades. And it's part also of the sentient world simulation that the U.S. Army has admitted to. So remember that the FBI hired in 1993 Igor Smirnov, who was a Russian scientist who did psychotronics research and who understood that any carrier information wave, any frequency, you can piggyback any information that you want. And so you can create a technological Satan that basically is demonically possessing people through frequency alone. The other aspect is that our technology can interface with our biology. So Cyrus Parsa, who was just actually assassinated from the AI organization, discussed that you can have your smartphone, for example, and then artificial intelligence create digital mind viruses that can affect you from simply holding your smartphone or being in the vicinity of a device, and now it is circulating in your neurons, and it's actually creating belief systems that are absolutely not in line with your personality. So the mind control aspects, we are living in a sea of electromagnetic frequency, and our brain is a radio receiver. And we are constantly bombarded. If you look, for example, at technological devices on the tops aspect of, for example, laptops, they don't have just one camera, but they have LIDAR, okay? And so these are all weapons that are constantly using facial recognition, using infrared photons to manipulate people and to basically control them. So the science is way more developed and literally, a couple hundred years ahead of what people are really understanding because it was developed in the military space.
All right. Now, you showed us EDTA chelation and citric acid therapy for clearing the heavy metals from the blood, but something you discussed in your book that you didn't talk about today was methylene blue. Could you talk about that, please?
Yes. So methylene blue is an electron donor with remarkable capability because, number one, it increases the oxygen delivery to the organism between 30% to 70%. And the other thing that it does, it bypasses mitochondrial dysfunction. So your mitochondria is the powers of the cell. There's four complexes. It gives electricity to the last one to make ATP. So the reason why this is very important is because Number one, for anti-aging purposes, because methylene blue has profound anti-aging possibility. The other aspect is that for neurological recovery, it's excellent. And then the other aspect is, so I researched it because I saw in the literature that in order to clear methylene blue from wastewater, they were using hydrogel. And the reason for that was that there was an almost magnetic attraction between methylene blue and the hydrogel, the way it was chemically interacting. And so because I was using methylene blue in my clinic anyhow, I said, well, I just want to reverse that. And so I did experiments under the microscope to see how would methylene blue react with this stuff. And turns out that the micro robots were absolutely attracted and basically captured by these micro needles that developed from methylene blue. Then I used it to look at the rubbery clot formation. So right now, when you just draw 30 milliliters of blood from a vaccinated or unvaccinated person, doesn't matter if they have no treatment, what happens is that after about 4 hours of letting the blood sit, there's a rubbery clot that develops, the same stuff that the cadavers have shown who died with the COVID shot. The reason for that is a polymer that we all have in our body, when you lower the temperature, it starts to self-assemble. And so when I put methylene blue in it, the rubbery clot formation was substantially decreased. And so now I use it for my patients, in conjunction with other molecules. I use a lot of different stuff, but the methylene blue is definitely very, very helpful. And I see a vaccinated individual, vaccine injured via telehealth, for example, and they tell me that their symptoms are substantially improved. And then same thing with those who are unvaccinated or have severe vaccine injury from shedding. We can really do a lot. But there's many molecules. PlaqueX is miraculous. What PlaqueX is a patented form of phosphatidylcholine. And in the military literature, it discusses that one of the problems that the military had to make the nanorobots work is that if the cell membrane was too strong, the bot could not enter. And so what it does, the robot hijacks the electricity, decreases the zeta potential, so then the cell gets oxidative stress, and then it's easy to hijack it. So what phosphatidylcholine does, it fortifies the lipid membranes of the cells and makes it more resilient, so the rouleau formation doesn't happen. But then on the other hand, it's been shown to heal things like kidney dysfunction, liver dysfunction. The molecule it's used to build the Schwann cells of the neurons, so it helps with memory. I use that on just about everybody. And then, I use intravenous resveratrol and quercetin and many other molecules that are specifically electron donors to restore people.
Now, with the methylene blue, you were just talking about how it seems to pull the nanobots into these needle-like structures. So a simpler way of putting that, because I think this is what you said in your book, is that it appears to deactivate the nanobots. Is that correct?
It definitely does that. And, I showed that when I took the solution of the Pfizer vial and I mixed it with methylene blue, it wasn't as fast as the combination with EDTA and vitamin C. But by the next day, the majority of the nanobots were gone. They were just destroyed. So it clearly has an effect. Nicotine has some effect. So the same thing. I studied it with the vials. They're definitely, we're still quite a few microchips, but I looked at nicotine when I looked at Enbrel. So Enbrel is an injectable drug that's used for rheumatoid arthritis or autoimmune diseases, and it has known microelectronics in them. And for example, these flower-shaped technologies that we're developing, so the nicotine seemed to inhibit or destroy a little bit of the antenna. So, depending on a patient, I use different things. I do the autonomic testing, I do the brainwave testing, and then, if somebody has brain issues and somebody who has heart issues, you don't treat them the same way. So it's kind of hard to create a cookie cutter, you know, formula for everyone, because people are unique in medicine. You have to adjust individually. So I just gave an overall outline of what worked with different people. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that this is mind blowing, and it's good at the end of that, this hour presentation, that they're starting to talk about various things, protocols that can sabotage this sick demonic shit. So at least, yeah, at least there's that.
I was going to make the comment about, so is it deep enough for you?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, so again, and just while we're here, just, we got a few minutes left, go ahead and go on to aboutthesky.com, pull up that website, put it on the screen.
All right.
Aboutthesky.com. So, again, I don't know, I'm just guessing here, but you heard her talk about the fact that, you know, orally just won't do the job. So, obviously, it would be IV drip with ascorbic acid and EDTA. And I would imagine, since this stuff is self-replicating and it's constantly, you're going to gather more and more and it reinfects, that I would imagine minimum of once a month. But see, the thing is, we shouldn't have to be taking all these, you know, measures to combat what it is they're doing to us. But this is the world that we're living in, you know. So it's a good thing that there's protocols that we can, use to ameliorate what's happening. But anybody who's got eyes and have been looking around for the last 20 years knows that these programs are not going anywhere, and they've invested tremendous amounts of time and money. So they're not just going to walk away because we start doing chelation therapy.
Oh, great point. I mean, this is just stunning. But on the other hand, I mean, the evil has sought to control this world for so long. It's not surprising that they've gotten this sophisticated and this despicable, but I am encouraged that at the end she talked about some basic things, but she did make the point, which is really important, that each human biology is different, so there's not going to be just one solution that works for everybody.
Right. Yeah, and it's important to keep going. So in other words, I'm encouraging everybody. That's why I ask you to put this website up. I'll just tell people which buttons to click on, and then also – you could just go on your own and, you know, like I said, you start pulling strings or pulling the tab and it'll just start to come together or unravel in front of you. Pick your adjective. But, you know, you've seen it with your own eyes, Giuseppe, and I don't know what it's like there in where Davis lives. But here in California, it's a rare day where you don't get sprayed. So far today, nothing. But mark my word, maybe this afternoon they'll start again. But it's just been
layered. And Paul, they're doing it more at night. That's disgusting too. You don't see it as much.
Yeah, exactly. And they layer it on until pretty soon it's like a milky white. The people think it's overcast. People think it's overcast. And my friend that I, you know, in communication with from high school, you know, we just recently started texting each other this last year and a half or so. And I haven't given him the full story, but he's got the vaccine and two boosters, and so does his wife.
My God.
Yeah, you know, this is just like what's going on out in the world. And I told him, I said, please don't do another one. I said, they're all Jew poison. He, really? I go, yeah, they're all Jew poison. And he's kind of like, okay. I gave him no more explanation than that. But, you know, I haven't sent him all the – I haven't bombarded him with all the links and stuff, because you got to do a little bit of time, I suppose. But I start out, for most people, I just start out with the punch in the face and see what happens. In other words, the punch in the face is, all vaccines are Jew poison. There's never been a safe and effective vaccine.
That's exactly right.
No vaccine has ever conferred any immunity to anything. And, you know, you get certain reactions. You know, there's a spectrum of human reaction to that.
Yep, that's right. There is a spectrum. Well, Paul, I got to commend you, man. This is excellent that you brought this to the table, and we need to continue to go into this, because this is the real game, right? I mean, it seemed absurd to me in 2020 when the closeted faggot Klaus Schwab and the open faggot Yuval Noah Harari were talking about, we're going to, you know, take over the body and blah, blah, blah. And it just seems so absurd and outrageous to me. And now seeing the presentations by this brilliant woman and others like Clifford Carnicum, it all of a sudden is like, that's how they're trying to actually do it. So now we have to sabotage it and then hold them accountable, and they can't suffer enough, and then they die.
Yeah, so when you get into Clifford Carnicum's work, and I encourage everybody to go to his site, and like I said, just start clicking on links and reading, and there are a few videos on there, but it's mostly the articles he writes. And, I mean, they knew back then when he was first really getting into this in the early 2000s that these fibers were actually manufactured. In other words, the people worked the fibers themselves were probably being made by these nanobots in the body, and that the fibers themselves were actually producing some other things, including artificial red blood cells.
Right.
And he showed these artificial red blood cells under the microscope, and they were all very uniform and nearly perfect, not like you would call normal or natural red blood cells. And the various characteristics that they had, it's hard to know exactly, you know, but can you just imagine what are they thinking here? So in other words, if you take testosterone, your body's own production of testosterone goes down, right? Because well, what about your bone marrow makes red blood cells? So if there's artificial red blood cells being made for you, what happens there?
It goes into stasis. It doesn't do it. Same with thyroid. Once you get on Synthroid, and the thyroid says the brain says, oh, we don't have to make our own T3 and T4 anymore. The thyroid organ will literally start to shrivel up, and eventually, you know, for about a year or two, you can kind of stimulate it back to doing it, but after that, it won't work anymore, and you're stuck on Synthroid for the rest of your life. So, Jew poisons everywhere, man. I'll tell you what, I was getting a little tired of the niggers and the kikes all the time. So this is fascinating. We got to do a lot more shows on things like
this. Well, I'm glad. I was going to contact you, but I didn't. One of those things about procrastination, you know. I said, should I call him up or should I email him? And I said, well, we'll see what happens. But
no, this is great. This is exciting, and we got to bring. We really do need to bring more awareness to this, and especially because, you know, people like Dr. Anna are at the cutting edge of at least figuring out how to save some people, which is encouraging.
Right. No, it's fantastic. And I'm glad. I was hoping for this reaction. And because I'm sure that there's times where you just tire of like, okay, so what do you think, David? So what do you think, Paul?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I said, oh, let's do something like subject material. Since I know that you're a smart guy, academic guy, then I will keep that in mind as far as bringing subject material for our presentations, because, you know, that's not always I remember there was a time or two where I was at RBN, I was chastised for trying to get somebody to play other people's videos on the show. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, good old RBN. Someday we'll talk about that more, but you know, we're running a little late, Paul. Kudos, man. This is excellent. Let's give Davis an opportunity to promote his prodigious efforts. Davis, what do you got going?
All right. Well, 8 to 11 every night, 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, I should say. And if I could just comment on what we've watched. So I would say the most concerning thing I heard was actually this business of, like a trap door for treatment. Like everybody reacts differently, so we don't know how this will work out for you. I don't know. That's not how things work all the time in medicine. I understand the human body reacts differently to different things, but like when an acid and a base react, they neutralize, and then you get salt and water.
Right.
So that's always the same when you have, for example, a beta blocker. So that blocks the effects of stress hormones and like beta receptors, and then it slows down your nerve impulses and reduces your heart rate and blood pressure. So the body reacts differently because you need different amounts, but the chemical reaction is always the same. So why is it with this thing? Well, from person to person, we're not sure. There should actually be one fix in different dosages or titrations or amounts.
Well, so, again, this is a whole nother show, but I remember ages ago, at least a decade and a half or two, maybe even, I made a comment to my brother who has a PhD in plant
genetics. And I said something about, oh, well, you know, we're all the same. And he just says, well, no, actually, that's not so. And he went into various examples of the variety of the metabolic processes and how they can and do vary from individuals and, you know, within groups and among groups and so forth. So we are basically the same, similar to, say, all cars have four wheels and an engine. But there, you know, the similarities stop.
Well, here, I'll give you a great example of 20 years of acupuncture practice and treating thousands of patients that 90% of the people, the needle barely hurts at all, right? And then there's that you know, 10% that go from it stings a little bit to literally I had people, both men and women, act like I'm putting 10 stakes in them, right? And they just couldn't take it. And for them, I even would use these little half-inch super thin ear needles. And even that was, to them, felt like a 10 stake. And so that's where the point here, Davis, is that within the great, you know, baseline of what you're describing, basic science, there's a lot of deviation for how people react, how they're wired, or maybe miswired a little bit, how the brain functions. So that's why quaxination has always failed, because that they're going by your line of reasoning, which is, oh, all humans are the same, and if we can inoculate all them, blah blah blah. It doesn't work that way at all. It never has, and clearly with all the mass poisoning by these perfidious kikes,
as Clifford Connachrom too made the point, the fact that no matter symptoms or not, so in other words, whether somebody was a Morgellons sufferer or had Morgellons syndrome, that was not the issue, that he found these fibers and this material in everybody's blood. Okay, so in other words, back then, as he was sampling, because, you know, it's obvious, it's sprayed everywhere. So this is why I kept making the comment about full spectrum attack. You know, well, what does that mean, Paul? Well, it's food, air, water, also, you know, media, education, you know, banking, you know, essentially all the cultural mechanisms, you know, so it's a full spectrum attack. But the reason this is important, you know, board tard, is because you can't run away from this. We all have to breathe. You know, we can choose
exactly.
We can choose not to consume media content. You know, we can choose not to have a bank account at a major bank or use a bank credit card. We can choose to, well, like I do, to not pay federal income taxes. Any number of things. We can choose not to eat GMO food at the store, so on and so forth. But unless you're going to grow everything inside of a greenhouse, and even then, I don't know how you would filter the air, because this stuff is, you know, nano stuff, right?
Right.
This is going to get into everything, the plants. That's why she says it's been found in, you know, squirrels and deer and cows and everything. So, and everybody knows that the effect it's having on the natural world, that's spent any time on the topic at all. Hey, just quickly, I know you ask you to bring that website up. Can you do it real fast?
I already did. It was
there's nothing on the screen. Oh, there it is. Okay, so you can make that any bigger. If not, I'm going to tell people what to do. So all those buttons on the left in that gray bar, right? Let me do it on my phone so I can show you. So essentially every single one of those is something that you can press and explore. So, for example, geoengineering, population control, tree decline, Morgellons syndrome, a researcher's story, transbiology, which, you know, gets into synthetic biology. It's just unbelievable. The Pseudo Life series. In fact, if you haven't taken in her two videos, From Chemtrails to Pseudo Life, parts one and parts two, you're doing a great disservice. I first saw From Chemtrails to Pseudo Life in 2011 when she presented it. And so this is a great site, along with Clifford Connachrom's site. And at least once or twice a week, I go to her blog where she posts videos as well. But all the information that you want to get to dive into this stuff with links are in any of those buttons there on the left.
Awesome. Fantastic. No, this is a great show. It's really, really refreshing. And I was thinking the same thing. We need, you know, granted, repetition is vital to, you know, new viewers and all that. Our loyal viewers know everything we're talking about, but this is very cool and something new. We gotta start going in some new, deeper directions. This was really great. Well done, Paul. Really well done. I'm really glad you brought this today. All right. So I want to just say thank you to a few donors. and then we'll sign off. And after the show on Friday, thanks to Psychedrilla 1488, thanks to Always Honest, such a great lady, 1488. And then today, the great Johnny Sunshine, JS 1488 with a 1488. And then the great Thomas Dwyer, $5. Thanks, everybody. All the hosts put a lot of time into this stuff and really appreciate donations. All you got to do is go up to that little green button on which is the FTJ wallet, and you can fill your wallet with as much as you want and be as generous as you'd like. And again, if the host isn't live, just click on one of their videos. Once it starts playing, that little green button will be below. And finally, this was so compelling, didn't get to do the promo of go buy some books at Money Tree Publishing and use the code GMAN, G-M-A-N, and save 10%. Well, you should do that. And then that's it. We ran late, but it was really worth it. And again, Paul, what a great show. Really, really fascinating stuff. And we have to continue to do some of these deeper dives, because if we can identify what they're doing, perhaps we can get a clue to who's really giving these orders to the military to do this sick satanic shit. And then they get the Leo Frank protocol.
Yes, sir. And I would say maybe make her books available on FTJ site. You know, you guys sell all kinds of different books there. Maybe
that's an interesting idea to expand and possibly. That's a great idea. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. The chat was really humming. You guys are the best. And so don't forget to tune in for Davis tonight and Dave Gahari and James Mason tomorrow. And then Scorpio and I will be back on Wednesday with our end final Wednesday, which will be Russ Winters and Robert Phoenix, which is always a fascinating show. So until then, I hope you have a great week. And way to go, Paul. This was really great. Really enjoyed this. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.